Hey, everybody, it's us, the mans with the plans, the George Dunn mans. We're the Second Shot Podcast.
Bonus I want to rock right now. I'm Devin Newsom, and I came to do a podcast.
Okay, so I want to get that right out of the way. Yeah. That song's not in the movie at all. It's in the trailer, and it's fucking awesome. It's on their goddamn soundtrack, but it is not in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was so excited to hear that song, like that remix.
Yeah.
I was like, cool. I like that remix in the trailer. But it doesn't happen.
That totally should have... That worked out because it was like a good song for the review, but also a good song for the podcast. It takes two shots.
I guess we just found our new... sorry, Jess. But we found our new opening song.
Honestly, that's what I thought you were doing until you told me that about it being in the trailer.
Yeah, no, that's the best part of the trailer. That and the ant playing the drums, which is like still to this day, I can't believe is in a mainstream movie, but it is.
There's an ant playing the drums.
But...
Not even drum pads.
They're electronic drums.
Electronic drum.
But yeah, we're the Second Shot Podcast. We're here for like a bonus episode. We just saw Ant-Man and the Wasp. We basically, like all our reviews, we have not had time to think about it.
No.
We're just talking about it.
Yep.
Like everything we do in our lives.
And this one, I honestly probably have the least comic book knowledge of. So we can
I don't think really anybody who knows anything about Ant-Man, I feel, is a sociopath.
Jordan knows a lot about Ant-Man.
I mean, like, I get, like... Hank Pym being like an abusive husband and like crazy person. Mm. But that's really it. Like, I guess maybe if you know a lot about Scott Lang, you're a sociopath.
That's who Jordan knows more about. I'm not even going to lie. Scott Lang was his favorite, one of his favorite comic book characters.
Really?
He actually read the comics. Yeah.
Oh, I wish I would talk to Jordan about this. That would have been nice.
Yeah, I was going to bring him. He came home, but like right before I left to go to the theater. And, he just he couldn't make it today. Our power was out, and he was figuring some shit out. Power and the internet. It's a crazy storm.
No porn.
No porn. Terrible. No research about the character of Ant-Man and the Wasp. I do know that Janet Van Dyne was an original Avenger.
Yeah, Janet. Well, okay. So, like, my knowledge of the Avengers is that Hank Pym is a crazy person. He's abusive. Also, that Janet is, like, the best thing that ever came out of the Ant-Man universe, because the Wasp is great, and Janet as the Wasp is awesome.
Yeah,
we'll get into her and her portrayal, Michelle Pfeiffer's portrayal, in a little bit. But basically, let's like get our just immediate reactions kind of out of the way.
Yeah,
and then we can kind of nitpick and do our thing like we normally do.
Yeah.
But first, what did you think of the first one? Like, what was your reaction to the first one?
I really enjoyed the first one. I've always been a huge Paul Rudd fan and a Michael Peña fan. So, like, that was, like, a perfect movie for me. Like, I mean, as far as comedy goes, like,
yeah,
I thought it was an amazing movie. I liked Ant-Man 1.
Yeah, I think it's a fun one. Like, yeah. I was really, like, I walked into it basically expecting nothing, only because one, Age of Ultron was so disappointing, and two, Edgar Wright was supposed to do it and he wasn't doing it anymore.
Yeah,
and I was really holding on to that grudge. And to be fair, like watching this one, I was kind of feeling it too.
Okay.
But I walked out of that first one really, really enjoying it. I'm like, this is a fun, light little movie that reminded me of the first Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know, like, there was nothing too weighty about it. It was just goofy, fun. Mm-hmm. The action scenes were fun. Like, it was funny.
Yep.
And it was what it was. You know, especially after Age of Ultron, which was just such a bummer and so, like, disappointing and on, like, every single level.
Right.
It was nice to just have, like, something that, like, you didn't expect to be fun and be a palate cleanser.
And you had the first mention of Spider-Man in the MCU. That was pretty dope.
Was that one?
Mm-hmm. That was the post-credit scene when they're like,
you
know anything about this guy that can climb up walls and swing from webs?
Yeah, they didn't say that. Because the post-credit scene in that one is just a scene from Civil War. It's, I know a guy, which then cuts to, which one are you talking about? I don't remember that part. We're talking about Spider-Man.
They're on
the very, very
end. Yeah, they're like on the park bench or whatever.
Before it's a... Yeah, not the... Yeah. I get you. Okay. Yeah, because the post-credit scenes in that one were real disappointing because it was just a scene from Civil War.
Oh yeah, that's right.
But yeah, I mean, it was fun. It was a fun little movie. Paul Rudd was fun. They found a way to make Hank Pym like accessible without seeming like, you know, a grumpy old man. But then we got this one.
He was, you know, a grumpy old man.
Well,
he showed up
in Civil War. He got arrested.
Yeah.
And then that leads to this movie, which takes place before Infinity War.
Yes.
Seemingly like 3 or 4 days before. Or during. Actually, it's probably during.
Infinity War, the entire duration of Infinity War, like, in the timeline is something like
2 days.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's very, like, very short.
Yeah. But this movie's also like only 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, so it's yeah, like there's some travel time and stuff they cut through in this, but it's very close to the timeline, but definitely before.
Yeah. So what did you think of this one? What was your immediate reaction?
I thought it was really good. I think they play pretty loosely with like the physics sometimes, not even the quantum physics. Like, do you just throw the word quantum in front of everything?
Yeah, that was a good little joke.
I don't know, they do like the cut, like you've seen it in the trailer. This isn't spoilers at all. We're not getting to those yet, but like the car chase scenes and stuff, like they shrink the car down and they're still like driving at the same speed.
Yeah,
the big trucks and like
that part I was okay with. I'm like some of that stuff was just like, you know, superhero logic. Like,
yeah, it's totally
like,
that.
Like Ghost, like if she phases through everything, how is she still standing on flat on ground? You
right.
know, like it's like it is what it is.
Yeah.
Like. But yeah, no, I get that like annoyance though.
Yeah, and like there was really only one or two parts where maybe the humor felt a little forced, because there was a lot of humor, but it didn't feel as forced as like Guardians 2. Did to me.
Yeah, I think the jokes that landed in Guardians 2 were better though, almost all around. I think there's some really, really funny jokes in this one though.
Oh yeah, like Michael Pena, I think is
probably he's the fucking superstar
better.
Of this entire Marvel franchise. Yeah. Like if it weren't for Michael Pena in that first one, I'm not saying I wouldn't have disliked it, but I wouldn't have liked it nearly as much.
Yeah,
like. They kind of got rid of the aspect or the quality of him that I liked the most in the last one, which was him telling these stories about how he would be at an art museum drinking fine wine and like describing the wine to you. like he was just doing these weird things. They kind of got rid of that part, which is a bummer.
Yeah.
But we do have one long-winded story, which is pretty great.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, that whole scene, like he's under the effects of truth serum.
It's not which, truth serum.
Yeah, it's, which we don't know whether or not it is truth serum. But that whole sequence was amazing. And then, like, they kind of just threw him in during the, like, third act. Like,
yeah, there's no real reason for him to be there. Except for the fact that he's the best part of the entire
You're
going to
sit passenger seat and say funny things, and I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah.
I would like that in every Marvel movie.
I mean, if this is the Marvel movie, or if these are the Marvel movies that get Greg Turkington and Tim Heidecker into the Marvel universe, I'm okay with it.
I want a total movie of all the, like, funny sidekicks from every movie. Like, you could get Ned from Spider-Man. You could get, like, maybe throw a Drax in there, and like
I'd watch anything Drax is in. Literally anything.
Wouldn't that be an amazing? Let's do like the like.
Mini it could be like a West Coast Avengers. Or
yeah,
something
but
like
the like the Funny Bone Avengers or something.
Funny Bone Avengers.
It's all
they're just going to comedy clubs. Just towards.
We're taking back comedy. We're taking back comedy, baby.
And you get a Kat Dennings from the first Thor.
Like
she's just standing
there,
like texting. I don't know what she was doing in those movies.
There's a lot of people you could bring. Fucking Terrence Howard back for no reason. Just bring everybody back.
He's War Machine's long lost brother.
Tony Stark just thought they were the same black person
confused.
The whole time.
He just never corrected him. It's actually Don Cheadle.
He's too rich to piss him off. Don't make him mad. You wouldn't like him when he's mad. He has a Hulk buster.
Who else was in Hulk? Yeah, Betty. No one gives a shit about Betty. Yeah. I mean, it's clearly the series doesn't.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. So I don't want to be a downer with this, but
yeah,
I just...
Yeah, you had a more negative reaction
I
than I
love this one. Like, I thought it was fine. Like, I just... A lot of the jokes didn't land for me. Like, I think the jokes that do land are very funny, but it just feels... The entire movie just feels so messy. Like, it feels like it was cut down, because it's only 2 hours. It's the exact same length as the first one. Maybe 2 minutes less or something like that. But... It really feels like it was scaled down from like a 2:15, you know. Like
it did seem like the pace was very quick.
Yeah, but it also felt very slow. Like for this movie was almost 45 minutes shorter than Infinity War, and it felt longer.
Really? I felt like it was pretty short in my opinion.
Like Infinity War flies. Like I sit there and watch that movie, and I'm just like, oh, this is over already. Like,
yeah.
I mean, in fairness, like a lot more happens in Infinity War. Mm-hmm. Like, shit just doesn't stop in that movie. Where this movie just kind of is just people, like, there's so little Ant-Man. There's, yeah. Like, the Wasp stuff, other than that first kitchen scene,
yeah,
is pretty unremarkable. Like, all the fight scenes are pretty unremarkable. The car chase is fairly unremarkable. Not to say it's bad, it's just like, it just kind of sits there. Like, I was sitting there in the theater, and I just felt like, okay, so now I understand those people who are like, I don't really care about the Marvel Universe people. Because, like, this is, I feel like, what they think of
okay.
and how they feel
yeah.
Watching Marvel movies.
I could see that, and I don't know. I think that, like, those are probably the same people that don't like Ragnarok. Like, like... To me, Ragnarok would be more offensive in that way because this is like supposed to be a movie with all this weight and like the end of Asgard, and they kind of turn it into a comedy overall. And
it's a farce.
It's not a legit comedy, but like Ant-Man, you come in expecting more comedy. Like to me, this is like Marvel's answer to like Deadpool.
Yeah, this was
in a way, but way
less
more family
funny than
friendly.
Ragnarok. I rewatched Ragnarok the other day, and I mean, while it's not perfect, it is funny.
There's a lot of forced jokes. Like, I feel like the comedy in this one feels more natural, but like you get the performance of fucking Jeff Goldblum in Ragnarok, is worth admission alone.
Did anybody stand out for you in this movie?
Other
than Michael Pena? I mean,
Michael Pena. Evangeline Lilly was, I mean...
Oh, you know what? What's his name? The FBI agent.
Oh yeah, Randall
was,
Park.
Yeah, Randall Park
stood
really
out.
Fucking funny. In
yeah,
this movie.
he was hilarious.
That's his first time in any of these, right?
I think so.
I don't think I've seen him in any.
I'm pretty sure. Outside of that, no. Like, I mean, Lawrence Fishburne and Ghost.
We
was
just
kinda...
saw this movie an hour ago, and I forgot Lawrence Fishburne was in this movie.
he's kind of just thrown in there, and he's playing the Bill Foster character. He's the character of Goliath in the comics, mm-hmm. and I don't want to spoil anything as far as... I want to do a mostly no-spoilery review
for
this. There's not much to spoil except for the
the story isn't a very spoilery story. Like, it's, like, a pretty by-the-numbers story.
Yeah.
You know, it's a... I think everybody's knows what the spoiler is.
Yeah.
But that we can talk about at the very, very end.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, other than that... Like, if you've seen any movie ever, you've seen this movie in terms of the story.
Yeah, it's nothing different. It's pretty funny to me. Not funny, but weird in the sense of, like, the whole time I was just thinking during this movie, the juxtaposition against Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're both heist movies.
Are you saying Infinity? I don't see Infinity War as a heist movie. What are you...
It's a total heist movie. You got Thanos and the Black Order coming to steal all the gems. I mean, it's a
heist movie. I'd say that's like a quest. That's like
an infinity quest.
I mean, you could call it that. You can do all whatever you want. But I feel like there's a difference between a heist.
But
and a quest.
I mean, in a very basic sense, like you have some very heist like elements, like the first scene where Vision gets attacked with Scarlet Witch.
Yeah,
it's a very heist movie like scene.
And
then on a very basic level, Thanos is just coming in, stealing these objects. But then also, like, the tone of this is so much lighter. Like, after Infinity War, especially, like, I think is so much why I enjoy this as the next Marvel installment, because it's just, like, you can exhale a little bit. Like, you just have fun. Like, it's pretty much, like, I mean, you just feel good the whole time, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's what I think what these Ant-Man movies are supposed to be. They're supposed to be, like, sorbet. They're supposed to, like, cleanse your palate after, like...
Yeah.
But I feel like I said this after the movie, like, with Age of Ultron, it was, like, it was a bummer because of, you know, like, you know, what's his name, dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, at the end of it, kind of feel bad a little bit for Ultron and, like, you know...
Yeah.
But also, like, the movie was just kind of a bad movie. So that's a bummer in itself. And then Ant-Man came in, and it's like, hey, no, they're not broken. They're just, you know, there was a few missteps here.
Mm.
And it was fun, and it was, like, light, and there was nothing really to it.
Yeah.
And then this movie, after the Infinity War, which is so big, and comes down, like, Infinity War ends in a totally different way than Age of Ultron does. Mm. Like, spoilers for that, why are you listening to this episode
if you haven't seen Infinity War yet? But, like...
Infinity War ends with everybody dying. Literally everybody dying. And, like, there's no, like, optimism. There's no hope. Even the post-credit sequence.
Yeah.
It's like you get a small flicker of hope with Captain Marvel, but, like,
but there's
nothing. I mean, like, that, I feel like that weight kind of carries over in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the burden, that's the burden it has to bear in this is, like, people coming, I feel like a lot of people are coming to this movie looking for that answer of who dies in this one,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I mean, it's fine. That's like the biggest curiosity I had. Like, I did want to see this because, you know, I've seen all of them. And I enjoy all of them.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
The huge draw becomes, what is the post-credit scene going to be? How is this going to link us to the
next
movie?
I mean, that's like
movie?
All the Marvel,
like,
movies at this point.
Yeah, like, I mean... I feel like Ant-Man a little bit more so because the character isn't as popular.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think the first one did all right, and this one's probably going to do great, especially after Civil War. Like, people loved Paul Rudd in fucking Civil War. But
thanks for thanking me.
he's very tains me. By the way, Tim Heidecker. Appears in this movie after seeing...
What? Please, you know his name. What is his name?
Sorry. His name is Whale Captain Daniel Gubler with three O's.
I love him so much.
I loved him. People, if you haven't seen Tim and Eric's awesome show, great job, and you like our show.
Or On Cinema at the Cinema.
On Cinema at the
which
Cinema.
Which is a masterpiece.
Yeah, like, the way they worked that whole thing in when...
Fantastic Four and First Ant-Man.
Yeah, and First Ant-Man with... I'm only thinking Neil Hamburger. Why can't I think of his...
Greg Turkington.
Turkington, yes. Sorry. Sorry, Greg.
He's listening. He's a fan.
He's definitely listening. But, like, they worked that into the On Cinema thing, and now Tim's an Ant-Man, too.
Yeah, because Tim Heidecker was cast in Fantastic Four, just playing, like, a deadbeat dad.
Yeah.
And Greg Turkington simultaneously was cast in Ant-Man, playing the Baskin-Robbins man.
Yeah.
And they had a feud over Twitter that transferred over into the show about how Tim would, he said that Fantastic Four was the best movie of the year and all these things. And then Tim Heidecker coming around to being an Ant-Man 2. I'm very excited to see where this goes.
Oh yeah. Like, that's full circle now. unless Greg Turkington is going to be in the Marvel Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, that'd be incredible. As the same character.
Yeah. Crossing the universe into the Fox.
He's just Johnny Storm is just working at Baskin Robbins.
Anyway, I digress.
Okay, so, like, this movie, what... I think the biggest sin of this movie is wasting Michelle Pfeiffer. Like, you have Michelle Pfeiffer here.
Yeah.
Playing probably the best Ant-Man character in that universe.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in it for 10 minutes.
I mean, that's the whole point. She's trapped in the fucking quantum realm.
I get it story-wise.
Yeah.
But, like...
But...
Like, you got so much you can do with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
Like, and it sucks because, like, I get, like, she's only at the beginning and the end, and it sets up this, like, attainable goal they have to get and whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know, their mission just seemed dumb. Like, they seemed really, really dumb. And I mean, I get Hank Pym's like hard-headed and, you know, like very goal-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
But just everybody was being really dumb this whole movie. For people who are supposed to be insanely smart.
What was the dumb stuff? Like, what did they do?
They kept like
losing the building.
The building thing is like, it's a fun little like thing, and I enjoyed that, like the briefcase, if you will, of the movie was their lab.
Yeah.
But why even have it in the middle of the city to begin with? You can move it around wherever. You're on the run from the FBI. Why not just stay shrunk?
Maybe that was the best place for them to bring Scott to. I don't know.
It just, like, I mean, there's just, like, these weird, like, logic holes.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I don't, I'm not the, like, the biggest fan of nitpicking, like, plot holes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think that's not a plot hole, it's a logic hole. That's, like.
That's more like, why are you doing this?
Hank Pym is smarter than Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Like, he can figure something like that out. I mean, he's blinded by, you know, wanting to get his wife back, and I understand that, but, like, the things they do are just so dumb.
Yeah.
Like,
Driving again back to the car chase, like, when they shrink the car down, it doesn't make sense to me why they don't just, like, drive into the first, like, open door.
Yeah,
or, like,
when you're driving a car and, like, do you see ants on the road while you're driving? Because I don't. Like, if you're driving, or a Hot Wheels car.
Yeah.
Like, just stop the car, turn to the left. They're not going to find you.
They're not going to find you.
Like, like, it's Walton Goggins. He's not that smart.
Yeah.
Like,
which I did enjoy his character in this. They didn't do enough with him because he's great too. But
yeah, I love Walton Goggins. Yeah, he's just wasted. He's like everybody in this
he's
movie.
He's basically like the Ulysses Claw of this movie.
I like Claw better.
Claw's a totally way better.
I actually just
character.
Bought Black Panther last night.
Nice.
Because I was really drunk. I was listening to the soundtrack, but I haven't rewatched it since. But
I bought Marvel's Black Panther, then I freaked it.
I put it on 10. But yeah, I don't know. I just, like, he's wasted. He's actually entirely unnecessary. Like, to the story, he adds nothing.
Yeah,
other than to add this other, and yeah, he's
obstacle.
Just an annoyance.
Yeah.
Like, if it was just about Ghost,
yeah,
who is super undercooked as it is,
yeah,
give the time he gave to Walton Goggins to Ghost,
yeah,
to let her develop a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I would have been cool with that.
I think,
like,
I feel like the point of Walton Goggins was for comedic effect, like just for that one truth serum scene. Like,
oh, it's great.
Oh, it was amazing.
That payoff is great, but you could have found a way around that.
Yeah.
Like, have Ghost have a gang of people. I don't know. Like,
but Ghost would have been more crazy and she would have flew off the handle and killed somebody.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing is, like, I don't know who the fuck Ghost is.
Yeah.
She just kind of shows up. She gets crazy.
Random girl.
And that's like, we've had two and a half really great Marvel villains in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, in fairness, that's 3 out of 18.
Yeah.
3 to 18. But, like, I feel so spoiled now with after Thanos and Killmonger being so great. Like,
yeah.
I can't go back to the old Marvel villains anymore.
I feel like what they should have done, since, I mean, they're all about following comic material but stretching it a little bit too. I feel like they should have made it so she was Bill Foster's daughter and their mother died in the accident.
Yeah, it gives Lawrence Fishburne any sort of reason to be there.
Yeah, and then that follows another pattern they've done with their best villains of where they pretty perfectly mirror the hero's story because they're trying to find Janet Van Dyne. They're trying to get revenge for the death of Ghost's mother in that case. Like, I thought that would have been a better application.
And it gives a reason for Lawrence Fishburne to hate Hank.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like,
I mean, like,
other than
of,
just he fired me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know. Maybe they didn't want to villainize Hank too much. They just wanted to make him look like a bad guy, not a.
It's so weird because Marvel's been insanely ballsy.
Yeah.
Insanely ballsy recently.
Yeah.
To not want to villainize Hank Pym, who becomes Yellow Jacket, like, in the comics at least, like, it's weird.
Yeah.
Like, I get you have Michael Douglas. Yeah. Like, you don't want to just lose him.
Yeah.
But
maybe they wanted more of an upbeat ending with them, I guess. They wanted a more happy ending with him and Janet coming together without any kind of tension. I don't know.
I get that. But, I mean, you can also, like Black Panther, just the ghosts of your past and dealing with that. Like,
yeah.
You can do those things. He can have a redemption arc. He has no arc in this movie.
Yeah.
He goes from looking for his wife to finding his wife.
Yeah.
You know, even like
being mad at Scott to
tolerating Scott. Just kind of ignoring him. Yeah. like Scott, even his arc is kind of like he's a dad and he wants to be a better dad, but he's already a pretty good dad. He's just now on house arrest, and then he goes to not being on house arrest, and that's like his whole arc. Like no one really learns anything through this thing, like, other than to not use that one Ant-Man suit because it doesn't work very well.
Oh my god, that scene too was incredible. That was maybe my favorite Scott
the middle
scene.
School scene.
Yeah,
that was great.
That was amazing.
That was really good.
I briefly saw one shot of it in the most recent trailer something I watched, and so I was expecting it, but I don't think they showed off that scene too much in the trailers, which I think was a good idea because it was a good surprise.
I only saw the one trailer. I didn't know there was a second one.
Yeah, there was another one. Or I watched some kind of behind the scenes thing where I saw it or something. I saw a little Scott in a hoodie, and
Scott in the hood.
that worked very, very well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's when the jokes land, they're really funny.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that. I think that's really what saves the movie for me. Because I didn't hate this movie. I don't want to, like, come off as, like, you know, fuck this movie or anything like that. Because it's just whatever to me. Yeah. I just put it on lower on my list. Because, like, I don't think I hate any Marvel movie. I think. Maybe Iron Man 2. Iron Man 2 is pretty terrible.
Yeah.
But this one, it just, I'd say I'd put it right around, like I said, Age of Ultron, where I'm just like, I just don't care.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even offensive to me. It's just like, eh.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, James Spader saves that movie.
To me, the only movies I enjoyed, or what are the movies I enjoyed less than this one? I would put Guardians 2 below this. I would put Age of Ultron, Iron Man 2.
You put Guardians 2 below this?
I think so, honestly. Really? I really didn't care for it that much.
Wow.
That's one where I felt a little more meh about. And honestly, I might put Ant-Man 1 below this.
Really?
I have to rewatch it because the only time I watched it was at a midnight showing after I had worked all night.
Yeah.
And
Ant-Man 1's like really solid.
I
the fight scenes are really
remember
great.
Really loving it. Yeah. Especially that sequence with Falcon in it. I remember being particularly cool.
Even it was, yeah, it was tacked on, but it still was fun.
Yeah. I was thinking they showed that trailer before this movie with
The Hate You Give or something like that.
Yeah, that with what's his name in it? He plays
Anthony
Falcon.
Mackie.
Anthony Mackie. Yeah, like I was thinking about it, like Anthony Mackie, like Falcon's cool, but what if like instead of Falcon it was Falcor flying around helping out fucking
and Atreyu?
Yeah. Helping out Cap.
Just the band Atreyu.
Falcor and the band Atreyu.
Now in the Marvel, the MCU.
That would be pretty sweet. Sorry, Anthony Mackie. You're like the least awkward of all the stars in real life. But
yeah, what's the thing he says before every take? He does some weird thing. Like he says some weird like boom or something like that.
I forget,
like,
but he's well known as the class clown.
He's like a jokester. He's the George Clooney of the group.
Some of the people in the MCU are so awkward in interviews. Like, I mean, Paul Rudd's
Benedict
probably
Cumberbatch
not awkward.
Benedict Cumberbatch is one.
He's awkward. Josh Brolin had kind of an awkward interview with Stephen Colbert. But
Josh Brolin's a
funny.
Weird guy. Have you followed him on Instagram yet?
No, but
you need to
strange.
Follow him on Instagram.
I'll follow him. I could
he
tell from this interview. He's
super
so
weird. I love it so much.
Look up the Colbert thing.
Yeah, I need to watch it. He had a good 3 months.
Yeah, he did.
He had a real good three
Still
months.
Still haven't seen Deadpool 2, but
you can watch it.
Yeah, there's some really awkward people. Scarlett Johansson can be kind of awkward.
Well, what's his name? Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Have you watched that compilation of Tom Holland and Benedict Cumberbatch doing interviews together?
Oh,
Benedict Cumberbatch having to stop him
from
spoiling stuff. Which also, he did the little fun little jokey kind of thing of him showing revealing the name of the new Spider-Man movie.
Oh, yeah.
Far From Home.
Far From Home.
His little fun little reveal that he did.
That's going to be dope.
Yes, with Mysterio, apparently.
Yeah, played
Jake Gyllenhaal as Mysterio.
Jake Gyllenhaal, which is funny because he was supposed to take over for Tobey Maguire as Peter Parker.
I didn't know that one.
And Mysterio's first appearance in Spider-Man comics, he is impersonating Spider-Man and framing him for doing bad stuff.
Good call, dude.
Yeah.
You're a little spider boy.
Thank you. I am a spider boy.
I'm more of an Ant-Man.
I hope to one day be a Spider-Man.
I hope to be an Uncle Mom.
When are they going to do Ant-Boy? I want to see that spinoff.
Ant-Man and the Ant-Boy.
They did it in this one, actually.
Sort of,
in the middle
yeah.
school scene. Ant-Boy.
I don't know. You got anything else to talk about? We can talk about the spoilery thing in a minute, but other than that, I don't have much else to say. It's just super light.
Yeah.
It's just whatever.
Big ups to Michael Pena. Big ups to Randall Park. And T.I. and the other Russian.
T.I. had that one line read that was really fucking funny.
He had some good things. And then the other guy with the when Ghost appeared and scared everybody. Yeah. That was pretty good.
They're fun. I would watch a movie of just them.
Oh, big time.
Like, just do like a real small, low budget. I mean, you have T.I. and Michael Pena, so it can't be that low budget, but like.
But like XCOM, the movie. I like the name of their.
Like, well, it's like What We Do in the Shadows just got a spinoff series.
Oh, yeah.
About the cops.
Oh, that's what the series is about?
Yeah.
It's about the cops?
Yeah, it's like 4 or 5 episodes.
Whoa, I thought it was.
And they're just like, they're paranormal investigators now.
That's awesome.
So I would watch a show like that.
Yeah.
Just of those guys like just hunting down criminals or something.
That'd be amazing.
It'd be so good.
Paul Rudd. I do want to say. Cassie, his daughter, Cassie.
Yeah. Oh, she was great.
She was so good.
She was
in this
way
movie.
Better in this one than that
and,
last one.
They're totally setting it up to do something with her in the future.
I kind of hope they don't. I like that she's just kind of this, like.
In the comics, she actually becomes someone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But I just like her as, like, this kind of, like, moral, like, through line for him. Like, someone to keep him centered.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I really liked her in this movie.
Yeah, that,
She was so cute, she was very funny, and she, like, made me ball up a little bit for a second.
She did. There was really a lot of chemistry between her and, I mean, they had it in the first movie, too, but this one, like,
she's able to give it back, too.
Yeah, she gives it back, and, it was awesome. Yeah, it was awesome to see. It was a good father-daughter relationship.
Let's get into the spoiler real quick.
Yeah.
The spoiler.
Spoiler alert, don't listen to this if you don't. If you haven't seen the movie.
And spoiler for Infinity War 2, even though we spoiled it earlier in the show.
Yeah.
Also, like, if you haven't been on the internet in the last 2 months.
There's nobody.
Okay, so spoilers. So, the post-credit scene. The first one. And the second one, technically.
Yeah.
Which is the second one, I have something to say about, because there's a weird tone. But the first one is Scott going subatomic to collect the subatomic energy to stabilize Ghost, I guess?
Yeah, the healing energy to stabilize Ghost or whatever other uses they could use that quantum energy for.
Yeah.
But
I'll take it.
They've got a handle on the quantum realm now.
Yeah, that's nice. It'll be interesting. I mean, because like, okay, so let's just get... So, Scott's in there. He's absorbing everything. They're about to pull him out when all of a sudden they cut back and everybody's just dust.
Yep, you see the dust flying.
So, everybody except for Scott is gone.
Yep.
Happy
reunion.
And, yeah. Welcome back, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yes.
I have never heard an audience scream that fucking loud in my life. And we saw Infinity War.
That was a huge reaction. Like, honestly, like, I haven't heard one like that since probably Iron Man 2. Like, it's been, I mean, maybe not that long, but, like, they've, like, the past few haven't been like that, like, oh, my God. Like, Guardians didn't have a scene that people, like,
yeah,
were
cause,
like,
I mean,
oh, my God.
Because they've all been building up to Thanos.
Yeah.
And, like, everything's been a slow build since then.
Yeah.
But, like, I can't, like, I don't, like, I mean, I saw it coming, and I mean, like, I'm not saying, like, oh, I'm smarter, like, obviously they were gonna go,
yeah,
maybe not all of them,
yeah,
But like when people saw that happen, I was like, people are like, what the fuck? And it's like, yeah, it's fucked. He's stuck in the quantum realm now. Yeah. Like, that's weird. Like, I mean, that theory that's been going around on the internet
seems
now
like
is
it's
very,
true.
Very likely it's going to happen.
Janet Van Dyne mentions to Scott, don't get stuck in a time warp. We won't be able to save you.
Yeah. Who knows? I'm so excited to see what happens here, man. Like, I want this new Avengers movie now.
Yeah.
Like, I just want the name. That's what I want.
Didn't they leak it?
No. No, I mean, nothing official. I'm not believing anything until it's
okay.
official.
Okay. Did you hear about...
No.
Do you want me to or no?
Sure, why not? Spoilers for this, I guess, if you don't want to hear this part.
So, one of the cinematographers who's worked on the past few movies, they leaked, like, some of the art from Avengers 4. Which I don't know if you've seen any of that. No. I know you don't like to watch that stuff.
No, I have not.
Look at that stuff. I don't want to mention too much.
Yeah, don't. Okay. Just say, if you have the name. Just
some of the art, and he put on his type of almost like a resume page. Like unless they're Marvel's fucking with us.
Okay, so they did this with, I think it was one of the new DC movies or something like that.
Yeah.
Some guy did. I was fucking LinkedIn.
Oh shit!
I think it's people trying to weed out trolls, or weed out leakers, and like maybe the information's
correct.
That.
Yeah, no, I could see that.
But they've done it for a few movies now.
Marvel's very careful. I can like if especially if this guy's worked on the movies for this long, like I feel like he would know not to.
Yeah,
he put up Avengers Endgame and then later deleted it and put Avengers
well,
4.
Well, they have lied in the past.
Yeah.
Joe and Anthony Russo said it is absolutely not Endgame.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because that's not a spoiler. They said the name of the movie is a spoiler.
That's a good point.
That's the reason they're holding off on the name for so long.
That's a very good point.
I mean, it could be like Into the Quantum Realm, which is a stupid fucking name.
Yeah.
But, you know, or Quantum. Like, start like sound like a fucking James Bond movie. Time warp. I'm just like thinking of stupid names that are happening in this movie.
Avengers,
but they,
4.
They have
Age of Daniel Gubler.
They did an interview right after Infinity War. There was like an audience interview.
Okay.
And they said, is the name of the next Avengers movie said in Avengers? And they said no. Well, they could be lying because they also said that Infinity War is going to be a standalone movie, which in a sense, it is. I believe them only because Endgame 1 is just a shitty name.
Yeah.
That sounds like a DC movie. Endgame, Dawn of Justice.
Avengers v. Thanos.
Yeah. But also, like, I don't know. It's just not a spoiler. It's just...
So if you had to name Avengers 4, if you were in charge... If you were Kevin Feige...
I have no idea what the fuck's going to happen.
What would you name it?
I mean, it really depends on what's going to happen. Because they said this is the first one... They're not basing this off any comics.
I thought they're not drawing in it from any...
I mean, I'm sure there's influences and there's probably some story material. But said there's no specific guideline that they're going on.
Yeah, because I basically went through to the end of Infinity Gauntlet in Avengers 3.
Yeah, I mean, you even saw. I saw the another time, and I saw the little scarecrow with his armor and stuff on there. I'm like, oh, that's adorable.
The only thing that they haven't done, which I still think they're gonna do from Infinity Gauntlet, is that Nebula is gonna get that glove.
Nebula is absolutely going to be integral to the story.
Yeah,
Ant-Man and Nebula, 100%.
Yeah.
I feel it would be, unless Gamora comes back, it would be very. It would undercut a lot of the themes of the first movie if anyone but Nebula kills Thanos.
Yeah.
Unless
they give Gamora Nebula's part.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Which, who fucking knows with this shit? Yeah. Like, I mean...
I think it's going
to
be...
You sacrifice Gamora to the Soul Stone. Is her soul still there? You know, like, is it, you know...
She's still down there, is from what I understand.
Yeah, I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, she's dead. Like, you see her laying dead.
Yeah.
But, like, where's her soul? Well, you know what? Like, a soul for a soul kind of thing, which means there's a possibility it's still there
yeah.
being held.
Yeah.
Whatever. And there's the quantum realm. So, I mean, like, the ability to react with time and space.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so maybe there's physical or other physical things that can control what the Infinity Stones do. Yeah. You know, in a more manual way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like an Infinity User's Guide?
Yes. Yes.
unplug it back in.
That has nothing... Well, it doesn't have nothing to do with this movie, but that's not what happens in this movie. This is just us speculating now. Yeah. What do you think of that mid-credit sequence?
The mid-credit?
Yeah.
The
quantum realm thing.
I thought it was dope. I think it holds a lot of weight because now the theory was time travel. Now, pretty sure it's going to be time travel. I don't know any other way Scott's going to make it out of there. And then...
They don't really establish time travel in this, though. They say the time hole or whatever.
Yeah.
But Janet never... Like, she ages normally, seemingly normally.
Yeah.
But she does gain superpowers.
She didn't go into a time warp, though.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe the time warp thing is what it is, or maybe it's just an offhanded reference.
I think they did mention time travel in the first Ant-Man too, talking about the quantum realm.
Maybe, did they? Maybe. I think they just say what they do in this one, where time and space just acts differently than it does down there.
So if you had to, based off of what you think is going to happen in the story in your head, what would you name Avengers 4?
Time warp. Let's do the time warp.
Avengers time warp?
Let's do the time warp again.
I think I would name it Avengers Infinity
Warp.
Avengers 4 Infinity Whale Captain Daniel Gugler.
Just Tim Heidecker on screen multiplying like that one scene in Last Jedi.
Yeah. I think that's what's going to happen.
I'd watch the fuck out of it.
I'm pretty sure.
There is a possibility it's not Avengers 5. I'm sorry, Avengers 4, but it's another Captain America movie or
an
Ant-Man movie.
Yeah.
Which would be interesting in a real, like, pull the rug out from under you kind of thing.
A lot of people are saying it might be called New Avengers.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
I don't know. I mean, we could speculate all we want. Yeah. It, you know, we can go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
I just want it to be called West Coast Avengers. It's like, we can't be in New York anymore.
Like Snoop Dogg plays Black Panther.
And Tony still thinks it's War Machine.
Oh man, if they put a line into this where in Civil War where Tony was like, "Yo, Rhodey, how'd you get your legs to work?" He's talking to T'Challa.
I thought you were dead. I thought you were crushed. What do you think of that second or the last?
The final scene that seems to be the trend in a lot of these. They put like an important scene and then they put
kind of
a fluff
let's
scene.
Shit wash away for a second. Yeah.
That ant is, I think ants are perfect to play drums because they have six legs.
It's my favorite scene of the movie by far. When I saw the ant in the trailer playing the drums, I'm like, that's going to be my favorite scene. Like for sure. It's going to be my favorite scene.
Yeah.
And not only is it an ant, a giant ant playing the drums, but like this signal broadcasting, this like emergency broadcast system alert. It's like a fucking horror movie. Like to a T, it's a horror movie. There's a giant ant in a house.
Yeah. it's like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
No, it's way scarier than Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Like, I don't like bugs at all. So like these movies, I'm surprised I like them at all. But like seeing giant ants is just horrifying to me, like any time in this movie.
But they're, like, nice, and they're funny. And
they're adorable.
And
like,
they play music.
I feel like in the first one, they were way more adorable. Now that they're, like, giant size, I don't like them. There's no personality to them. Also, they killed Antony off screen? How dare you? I know ants don't live 2 years, but, like, how dare you?
And we saw, what's-his-face get eaten by a seagull. Was that Anthony?
No, that wasn't Anthony.
That was
the new one that he named. It was not very good, not a very good name. I don't know. I don't remember. It was
totally clunky. Like an I love you man type deal, like bro Namath.
Yeah.
Bro.
Just forcing ant in
ant,
there.
Ant puns.
Yeah. I love that little scene. It was so great. Yeah, that's all I got to talk about.
Me too.
Oh, the Morrissey thing. That's what I was going to... Yeah, all of... I love... Because it is a thing. Like apparently, like, Latinos love Morrissey. Like, it's a thing.
You would say that, racist. I've never heard
it
that.
It is a thing. He's, like, really big in Spain, I believe.
Do you know who else likes Morrissey? White people.
Yeah, it's true.
You know who else likes Morrissey? Not black people.
Not Morrissey. You know who else likes Morrissey? Morrissey.
You know who else likes the person Morrissey? No one.
That's true. He's the fucking worst now. But man, he made The Queen Is Dead. So like, I'll give it to him.
It's like Michael Jackson.
He can say whatever he wants.
Michael Jackson. He made Thriller. He made Thriller.
I was talking about that the other day. I'm like, he's like they're playing Michael Jackson songs in kids' movies again. Like,
yeah.
No one's realizing this. Like, yeah. Especially in 2018. It's a little weird.
Hmm.
But, all right.
His music touches them.
All right. We're just going to go on that. I don't want to go on that. No.
We're not actually.
I don't want to go.
We're not actually little kids. They're just Paul Rudd shrunken down to little kid size.
Okay. Yeah, that's our review. This is way longer than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But we'll be back next week with something.
Something or other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still want to talk about Doctor Who. Maybe we'll do that. But. Yeah, we'll be back next week. Stay cool out there because it's fucking hot. I'm fucking dying right now.
I joined a gym.
Why?
Because. I don't know. It's free.
All right, we're going. Bye.